Welcome back to Pax Europiana and to my podcast about peace and prosperity in Europe. And in this section I discuss now about EU days, special days which something remarkable has happened, which all Europeans should know for a specific reason, and also to build a common identity and a common narrative of our great and amazing European unification project. And here now we come to the 2nd of February, and that's the EU day for a so-called Europack. What's a pack? A pack sounds funny, yeah? You will ask me, Günther, what you mean? You know, I have already made a podcast about the Eurozone enlargement, but specifically the instrument which I'm talking now is a fixed exchange rate regime with the euro, or also with the dollar in some other parts of the world. But I'm very much in favor of all countries which are already highly trade integrated with the European Customs Union, not only with the Eurozone, but with the EU Customs Union, or which are inside the EU Customs Union, or the Internal Market, or a DCFTA arrangement, and are also so highly trade integrated and are in the proximity of Europe. Now, as the euro is so strong, the Eurozone has so developed, it's very much the best policy if you are a smaller economy, and then to peg your currency towards the euro. And I will explain now why, and I explain also who did it. First of all, why the 2nd of February? The 2nd of February is the day in 2002 when Lithuania has changed from a dollar peg to a euro peg, and then has later obviously adopted, joined the Eurozone when it was the last country to do so up to now. That was in 2014. But in 2015 they have fully joined, but on the 23rd of July they have made the decision, the EU has made the decision to firmly invite and integrate Lithuania in the Eurozone. So it took another 12 years. And Lithuania from the beginning had already a dollar back, and that means a hard currency policy, what I generally tend to call the Austrian shilling policy, because it's not a Lithuanian invention. We did it, as I have explained already in some of the podcasts. This was the policy of the Americans to reconstruct Western Germany from 1948, the currency reform of the mark, that was the paper, but in reality it was the value under it was the guarantee of the value was the US Federal Reserve. And this was the same also for the Japanese yen. And when it was introduced at this fixed exchange rate to 360, and this has stayed until 71. Then came all this volatility of the Vietnam War and the Nixon crisis and the terrible 70s and the oil shocks. That's a different story. But the stability has really allowed the reconstruction of Japan, the reconstruction of Western Germany and of Austria, and it was the fundament for the success of in the Cold War. The economic prosperity was created by this currency fix, the PEC. And so I like these PECs. I think it was wonderful for us in Austria. It was not this soft policy of constant devaluation and currency crisis, which destroys the savings and destroys all prosperity and all makes investment so incalculable. But it is an instrument of discipline, of economic discipline for the governments, and of trust. And currency is about trust, so it's important. And it's no surprise the really successful countries like Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia, they all did it. They had their crisis period after the end of the Soviet Union with hyperinflation. Then they saw what is the best, peg it either to the mark like the Estonians or to the dollar like the Lithuanians, or to a currency basket, that means several currencies, a mix, but in a fixed level. And so it was also very successful for Latvia. And then they backed all to the euro, and then they joined the Eurozone. And they live in happiness and are richer than Portugal today. And that's quite good, and richer than Greece. So that's really very good. So I'm very happy with that policy, and I recommend it. And it's not that I'm the only one, because they have really done it. And so has Bulgaria, so has Bosnia, so has also, in a different way, they have adopted the euro. Kosovo and Montenegro after the war in 1999 and then in 2002. That was really very good. and also Macedonia, North Macedonia has done it. And by the way, many other countries in the world do it. When you look, you can see in the internet the list of currencies and countries which have one form or the other. Either they use only the dollar or the euro, like Kosovo and Montenegro, like many countries in the Caribbean use only the dollar. Or they have a currency peg. And the list is over 100 countries in the world have pegged their currency to another bigger economy, like basically the dollar or the euro. It's about 20 countries in Africa which have pegged the currency to the euro via the so-called CFR, the former franc, basically. And that's a very good arrangement. They have low inflation, they have no investment risk from the currency, no currency risk. They have low interest rates, they have better investment conditions, and they have the stability that the consumers don't have to run to buy things in order to escape inflation all the time. Yeah? So that's really the best currency policy for smaller countries. I'm not calling for fixed exchange rate controls or something. No, don't misunderstand me. I also think that it's very important to have flexible currency markets between the dollar and the euro, the Japanese currency, but they are already very carefully managing it towards the dollar. So for a very big economy like the Indian rupee, maybe, it's very good to have their own strong currency and they have their own system because they have the underlying economy. But for small countries, and here my special interest, obviously, in the post-Soviet area, which I hope will join the European Union. This is Ukraine, this is, of course, Georgia, this is Moldova. They have this currency system, they love it, it's flexible, the IMF says it's good, it's for the market. Yes, the market, yeah, perfect. I'm fully for the free market, yeah. But the free market needs instruments, yeah. And it's much better to have this firm fundament of a euro-pegged currency and then to reform inside the country when it's needed, yeah, in the wage and price sector, or in the labor market and so on. These are anyhow important reforms to be done. And not to have constant devaluation because the countries stay poor. Look at the dollar per GDP capita of Ukraine, Moldova and Georgia. Georgia is such a wonderful reforming country and it's still at the level of Kosovo. And Ukraine and Georgia, there's no other places which have such a low GDP per capita prosperity and the incomes accordingly. And it's not good. Constant devaluations is like running in a gigantic wheel. You run like in a rat wheel, but you achieve nothing because there is no fundament. There is no long-term investment security. There is constant currency and devaluation risk, and there is high inflation, and there is this tragic situation of high interest rates, which again makes the investment so complicated. So I'm completely for currency pegs. So concretely, what I call for? A currency peg of Ukraine, of Georgia, of Moldova, that's the first one. Also, it would be much better for Azerbaijan and for Serbia, and to have these currency pegs immediately. It doesn't take a lot of work. It's just a decision of the government, of the central bank, of the political elite. We want that. We will keep it. It also requires some kind of fiscal discipline, no overspending, but that's anyhow required by anybody. And to have this kind of security for the people and to avoid another big wave of devaluations now in this currency crisis, which will ultimately come after the corona shock turns into a full debt and economic crisis, which I'm afraid will be coming. So this is really the way forward. Yeah? Currency pegs in the countries which want to join the European Union, but a currency peg also for a country that cannot join the European Union, but is highly integrated. And that's obviously Turkey. You will ask why, well, but Turkey. Turkey is in the EU Customs Union, in the EU-Turkish Customs Union. It's so highly integrated with the European economy 100%. Yeah? And so it's very important to have a currency peg with the euro of the Turkish lira. The same is true also for Lebanon. Lebanon needs a currency peg with the euro. It had one with the dollar. It's not working. Everything is in free flow and chaos there. And it's almost close to breakdown. Absolutely wrong. We need to stabilize it. If it's not possible with a peg, then it's better to finish the Lebanese pound and introduce the euro directly. Because then people have some kind of future for their own prosperity, investment savings. Yeah? And the same is for Jordan. I don't think it's very wise to have a dollar peg for a country which is mainly integrated with the European Union. So basically it's much better to integrate also to peg the Jordan currency. It's the pound, I'm not wrong. Yeah, the Jordan currency also to the euro and also on the shekel, the Israeli shekel. I think it's much better policy to be firmly pegged towards the euro. And that's basically also the policy for Egypt, for Tunisia and for Morocco. And many of them more or less have it. Often it's a little bit, you know, hidden. They say that we have a flexible regime or a basket. They don't disclose which basket, but in reality, they try to integrate with the trading space, which is close. Yeah? And it's obviously the European Union for all the countries around the Mediterranean. And the dollar is, of course, the perfect currency to back for the petrol exporters, the big petrol exporters, no doubt. That makes a lot of sense. And that's why also all the Gulf Cooperation countries are pegged to the dollar. In Africa, the peg to the euro makes much more sense. And this is the best policy for all countries in Africa. I think what should be done is maybe to change the name into ECHO. That is good. Or it can be the Afro if you want. Yeah? But the plan in Western Africa and Central Africa is the ECHO. And basically all countries who want to join also this currency union and basically use this peg to the euro for currency stability. Much better than printing money senseless, which is happening now in Zimbabwe and in South Sudan and in Libya and all these countries which are completely out of control. Obviously, they cannot join this currency union. But at least there's others who might be ready. And now already it's 20 countries, to my best knowledge, which are backing the currency. Some do it to the dollar, like Eritrea and and Djibouti. But, you know, free floating own currencies, this is only for very big countries, yeah, for really rich economies. And you have the luxury to determine this kind of economic policy and the trust of the international investments community and of your own people. In the stability and in your management of your institutions. Yeah? Because currency is always about trust. You can easily print more money. Nobody will see it for some time. Yeah? Suddenly, there's much more money than goods and services and value in a country. And obviously, you have to devalue and it will be mega inflation. So the trust in the institutions is something to be built. Yeah? It's something very important, something very valuable. And not something easy to be replicated if you're a small, fragile state. So the idea that every country has to have its currency and to use this as a form of patriotic pride is completely ridiculous and wrong. It's not, you know, when the pride of your nation is about the paper, some faces from history or some bridges or whatever. No, this is not how you can build your national identity. Find some other heroes, paint them, make some monuments, do some museums, make some national days for that. But the currency must work, must be stable, must be firm, must be a real economic instrument of exchange of goods and services, of storage of value and of long-term trust that it's about the same in 20 years. If you go into the Zimbabwe way or the Syrian way or in all these kind of disaster currencies, or the Serbian dinar, or the Belarusian ruble, printing money every 3 years, you have a currency crisis. If not, if you have a problem and you cannot find a good budget, you start to print. If you cannot reform the labor market, you start to print. If you have a political crisis, you start to print. And then it's happening exactly as it is happening in Belarus with these three crises. As it happens in Ukraine and during the breakdown of Yanukovych and the two major battles in 2014 and 15, leading to two major currency crises, and so on and so on. That's not a good policy. And please, can anybody explain me why in Ukraine it was not introduced, the dollar back or the euro back for the euro back in Ukraine, exactly in March 2015. I was not there then, but I would really like to have the answer. It's one of the mysteries of me that such for me that such a logical thing was not done. I can also not understand why it was not done by Shakishvili in 2004 in Georgia. I can also not understand now the Moldovan leadership not to do it. I cannot understand it. I understand why the Serbians didn't do it, because they like devaluation to beggar your neighbor and to somehow have this patriotic hyperbole and do a lot of devaluation, because devaluation allows the collusive, corruptive network around the state-owned companies and the state budget to get very rich, because they basically manipulate the financial system, and the only one who can really fix prices and coordinate their survival but get really very rich with it, because they control the defense export industries and the defense primary resources, obviously energy and mining and defense, and then they can export that one to a very cheap with a high, very high margin, because they pay their own employees less and pay for their own supplies less in the country because of devaluation. And that's exactly where it's wrong, because it creates a kind of cartel of the collusive, corruptive elite around the state-owned industry and the few export industries, which are controlled by the state elites and their friends, basically. And that's also why corruption and devaluation and collusions are so connected, yeah? And also, don't get me started about this kind of currency manipulation, because when you have your own currency, you more or less know what is happening tomorrow. You can tell it to your three friends or trade with the on the currency devaluation yourself or on the increase as well. Because once you are in this market, you understand it, you can really steal on the costs of a massive of the out the investors community of the world. You can manipulate the forint, for example, or other currencies, and that's really very bad. So when you want to fight corruption, it very much starts with the financial system, with the pact to the euro, with the takeover of all the European banking regulation and transparency regulation. Management of the financial system is highly regulated, and it's very good like that, and also with the appropriate institutions. Yeah. So that's my story here about the currency pact. It's really important. It really matters. Take a look yourself also in the internet if you're interested, or check some videos. I call the 2nd of February, and this should be the celebration of currency packs, and that we have every year more, and that we have less volatility in the global system, more stability. It's very good for the smaller investors. It's very important for the consumers, for the savers, for the pensionists. They are the hardest hit. The collusive, corrupt elite around the power center can always somehow manage their own benefit very well. But for the small investor, for the pensioners, for the people who are just, you know, working out there in a jurisdiction depending on the currency that there is, yeah, they need this trust most. And then when the trust in the currency is established, I think, you know, with some caveats on public security as well, that must also be there. But the trust in the currency is really the ultimate game changer for a growth trajectory. And please go to the Baltic countries, see how it happened. Please go also to Ukraine and Moldova and Georgia, how it doesn't work compared to them. Yeah? And that's really why I strongly recommend currency packs for smaller to medium-sized economy with close trade integration towards the Eurozone or the dollar area, obviously, in Latin America. And in other countries, it always depends where you are located and where is your trade flows. And if they reach 50% and if they are very close to the US or EU market, then the integration and the currency pack is the best policy, and I heavily recommend it. So thanks a lot. Think every 2nd of February on Lithuanian courage for the euro pack, and back your currency to the euro.